Hello and welcome to SaaS Radio Hour again. I'm Matthew Gay, your host from the Capiche team. And today we're going to be talking about something I've been researching a bit, about how software has locked us in over the years and how the newest generation of software may have finally ended that cycle. And it's interesting if you look back at software through the years, how many times popular tool has come out and gotten us to start using it. And then over time, it ended up being maybe not the most popular tool for that category, but we kept using it. We kept using that one product far longer than perhaps we would have otherwise, just because we were sort of stuck. It was the software that we'd picked once, and now we were sort of locked in. And that sometimes almost made us resent software. I feel like part of the backlash against Microsoft software, especially in the late 90s, was often around that, is that you felt stuck. You felt like you had no choice, that maybe their tools weren't the best thing, but you were already using them and everyone else used them. And so, hey, here you are. And so you kept using them. And today I feel like we're in a bit of a different time period with software, where software has started being a thing where we pick the best stuff, we pick something we want to use, and buy it on purpose and are excited to stick with it for the long term. If anything, we're willing to commit. And that feels like a bit more of a change in the way software is both packaged and bundled and sold to us and in our reaction to how we're doing that, how we're using that software, which I find curious because what would make it different, right? Like if you bought Microsoft Office for $100 one time and you installed it and you used it then for half a decade, that honestly you should feel pretty good because you got your money's worth, you kept using it, and yet somehow we felt locked in there. We felt stuck. Whereas now maybe you're paying $10 a month for a product. Maybe you're paying per user. You're paying hundreds of dollars a month for this product in your company, which your team's much less likely to revolt and say, why are we still using this thing? It's a bit more sticky. It's something that we decided to use and we stuck with. And so that is what I've been exploring in what will be the next essay on the Capiche blog and something I wanted to chat through today on the SaaS Radio Hour show. So if you're listening and you have any feedback or anything you would like to add to the conversation, feel free to text in. And otherwise, here's the story. So a few years back in 2011, a team of Harvard professors, Michael Norton, Daniel Mokon, and Dan Ehrle, they wrote a paper about something they called the idea effect. And so dating back years before, when people started making boxed cakes, cake mixes, the original idea was you were going to have this flour mixture, you add water and bake it, and boom, you have a cake. And they sold poorly. Most people didn't want to buy this. They felt like it was fake, like it wasn't a real cake, like something was wrong here in this mix. And so they went and they talked to people and they tweaked the recipe and they figured out that if you had people add an egg, had them add some milk, had them mix this cake and then put it in the pan and bake it, that they felt like they were participating in the process, that they were actually making the cake. And so years later, you notice that same effect with IKEA furniture. If people bought IKEA furniture, they bought a bookshelf from IKEA, and you brought it home and you assembled it yourself. And then later, years later, you're planning on moving and you go to sell your belongings and you have a table that you bought at some hardware store and you have this IKEA bookshelf. But mentally, you would value that bookshelf higher than you would that table that you bought pre-made. That the bookshelf that you put your time into somehow tricked you into thinking that this thing is worth more, that this is an actually valuable bookshelf. And so that's what they call the IKEA effect. It's the increase in valuation of self-made products, where labor leads to successful valuation when it results in the successful completion of a task. So you sit down with your IKEA instruction sheet, you figure out what it means, you put together this bookshelf, and suddenly you feel like you actually created something. There's a fundamental human need for efficiency, for the ability to successfully produce desired outcomes in your environment, is one thing they wrote in their report. And it's somehow by us putting more effort into that item, we feel more attached to it. We feel like it's something that we made, that it's our thing. With software, for years, the original reason we would have stuck with using software was feature lock-in, which is perhaps the best. If you bought Microsoft Excel and it had formulas that you needed to use in your work, you wouldn't switch to another spreadsheet product if it didn't have those same formulas, just because that was the feature you needed. And so you stuck with this, and perhaps you would be very loyal just because there was this one feature you really needed. There are similar things in almost any broad software suite with hundreds of features, where a competitor may cover the 80 percentile. They may cover most of the things that most people need, but they don't cover everything. And so it's those special features that fit your needs exactly that are feature lock-in. For me, Google Docs collaboration tools have been that for years. I've never been as attached to the rest of the Google Docs ecosystem. The way its commenting system works fits my workflow the best, and that's kept me using their product for years, even though I often actually write the content elsewhere, publish it elsewhere. It's that one feature that keeps me using their software. But that's not quite enough. Most software wanted to keep people around a bit longer, make sure we kept using their product. And so you had file format lock-in. So for years, Microsoft's products were notorious for this. You would buy Microsoft's Office, you would get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, et cetera. And they would each save their documents, the things you created, in their own file format. And you couldn't really use that in another product. You would open a doc file in, say, OpenOffice, a competitor, and it never looked quite right. And then Microsoft took it further, where if you had Word 97 and then your friend upgraded to Word 2007, the files from Word 2007 might not look the same in Word 97. And so not only were you locked into Word as a product based on those file formats, but you were locked into upgrading. You were locked into this cycle of having to get the newest, the latest, just so your files would actually open correctly everywhere. And so that was a file format lock-in, which is one of the things that I feel like SaaS, a lot of the more recent business software, has almost been fighting to overcome for years. It's like that was the original enemy for software. You couldn't have an indie startup that competed with these larger tools just because their file formats are incompatible. And so they made SaaS products that let us go beyond that. So you don't actually need to open an Illustrator file if you're using Figma for your design, for instance. It's now all in this one database, and it's all something you can share, so you don't have to make sure your friend has the same version of Figma installed. Everyone just uses the same web app. And so we almost got rid of file format lock-in, and we replaced it with database lock-in, where today, if you've built out an email mailing list in MailChimp or your projects in Todoist or your CRM in Salesforce, all that data is deep in their database. And you could export it, but it's going to be in a plain CSV file, stripped of formatting, often without all the details you want. And there's almost no way to recreate the same thing you had in that SaaS product in another product. And so now you've got database lock-in, where you're going to feel a bit stuck with the SaaS product you're using because your data is locked into this, not exactly a file format from Zelm, but almost a visual format where you see it in one way. And you could take the raw data with you, but you'll never get back exactly what you had before. And in a similar way, media apps today do that. iTunes for years, if you had bought music or movies in the iTunes app, you might not like iTunes as a product, but all your content's in there. And so in a similar way, you had this database lock-in, just like with the Kindle app for ebooks, or even say with streaming media like Netflix and Spotify, where you built these lists. And sure, you could get similar content in another product, especially with music. But transferring your playlist and your favorites may or may not be possible. And then you have network lock-in, which is sort of a parallel thing, not typically with productivity software as much, though to a degree with collaboration, so something like Slack, Zoom, you're more likely to stick with using them because all your friends are in there. Social networks take this to the extreme, where you're very unlikely to leave Facebook because everyone you know is there. You might not quit buying iPhones because of iMessage. And then subscription lock-in. So maybe Adobe couldn't keep us around because of the Photoshop file format. Maybe Microsoft couldn't keep us buying the latest Office forever. And so subscriptions keep us locked in. Instead of paying upfront, now you're paying per month. Maybe you paid annually and you don't want to cancel before the end of your contract and lose that money, then you forget to unsubscribe. And so we got subscription lock-in. But all those, many of those lock-ins make us feel frustrated and make us feel like we're being forced to use this product. And the interesting thing I feel like now is you have a new thing that I'm calling creation lock-in, which is where you create something in the app and you feel like you've made your own custom thing. And now you're far less likely to switch. So you get that IKEA effect in software where you made stuff in Word and Photoshop and whatever in the past, but they were creations that felt separate from the product. But today when you sit down with Airtable and you make what people are calling a no-code app and you feel like, hey, I programmed something new. Now that's your creation. That's your software that you need to keep paying Airtable for years and years to keep using. When you've created your notes in Notion and you've also added a table and you've also added a Kanban board that organizes your team and you have this and that and there's this whole ecosystem of stuff inside that one product. You could export each individual thing, but that doesn't quite cover what you're looking for. If you wanted to quit using Notion, you've almost got to take that product that you built inside of Notion with you. And you're less likely to want to do that because of the IKEA effect, where you feel like you've built something cool. You've built something unique for your needs, and now you don't want to quit using that. Why would you? It was your creation. And these low-code products come in part to ease the database and feature lock-in. Just how SAS had basically eased the file format lock-in. Low-code apps ease the database lock-in. You use something like Zapier to connect your software, and suddenly maybe you could quit using MailChimp and switch to Customer.io, or you could move your data around more easily. But now you're stuck with that new created product where you built these workflows in that central app in something like Zapier, and perhaps you're unlikely to want to quit using that now because that's your creation. And it turned the more database-powered SaaS, took away their lock-in, but replaced it with sort of a different creation-based lock-in. Salesforce was an early example of this in the SaaS world, but go back a bit further, and Microsoft Access was this for years. You would see Microsoft Access being used as a point-of-sales software in stores. You would see it being used to run all kinds of businesses for years after it was even a popular product. People would stick with old versions of it. And it wasn't that they were sticking with Access. They were sticking with this software that they had built inside Access. Today, you have that with Salesforce, which is why it gets built so deeply into the workflows of companies, because people build something customized in Salesforce for their needs. You see it with Airtable, with Notion, with Roam Research, with so many of the popular products today, where you build something that's slightly unique, slightly your own thing, and you never can quite replicate that elsewhere. And then there's an interesting secondary part to that, is SaaS as a feature. So Twilio, in many ways, pioneered this market where they built phone APIs that you can drop into your product, and now your product can send SMS messages using Twilio's APIs. Stripe does this for payments. AWS does this for quite an insane variety of features in your product. And so you build these tools deep into your software, and now maybe you really have the IKEA effect. You're not just building a low-code product. You actually built real software that you ship to your real customers, but with this other software built inside. Sort of like an open source library, except this time you're paying for it. And those are even less likely to be something you're going to stop using. And then you have things like Segment that connect those APIs for you. So instead of you building them into your product yourself, you connect with Segment, and then it connects with all these other APIs. And that, once again, is helping reduce the lock-in of an individual API while getting you more locked into that core product. And so in many interesting ways, we've seen that nowadays software has sort of solved a few things. There was the old not invented here syndrome, where IT administrators felt like they wanted to make new software for every new use case. And now low-code tools basically let us eliminate that. Instead of saying, we're going to go get an off-the-shelf CRM, we say, okay, we're going to make a CRM that does everything we need, except we're not making it from scratch. We're using Salesforce and we're customizing it. We're using Airtable for this database and we're customizing it. And now it is invented here. Then you've got the sunk cost effect. that you already put the time and effort into this and you don't want to leave. And of course, you have the IKEA effect where you created something and now you feel like it's more valuable than even that subscription you're paying for. And so in an interesting way, today's software maybe figured out how to make sure we will never give it up and keep using it as long as it's supported. That's today's story, which will be on the Capiche blog soon. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Tomorrow, we will be live with this week's SaaS News with myself and Austin from the Capiche team. Thank you for listening. Bye.